Hey, I'm Chris.
What's up? I'm Mars.
And you're listening to Surgery Shelf Pep.
Yo, med students, today we're dropping serious high-yield stuff for your shelf, so buckle up.
Absolutely, Mars. We're tackling common fractures and dislocations.
Kicking it off, let's talk about mid-shaft clavicle fractures, especially when they come with a traction-induced upper brachial plexus or ER palsy. This injury can appear in adults and pediatrics.
The classic story for adults, a patient rolls in with a displaced mid-shaft clavicle fracture from a blunt trauma, such as a bicycle wreck, visible bump, shoulder droop, arm held adducted and internally rotated.
And the classic story for pediatrics is a shoulder dystocia delivery, and the child has a waiter's tip arm, adducted, internally rotated, elbow extended, forearm pronated. It's like they are holding out their hand, waiting for a tip. Unmistakable.
Why does this happen? The mid to distal third junction of the clavicle is weak. About 75% of breaks happen here. A sharp spike or lateral neck traction stretches C5 to C6 nerve roots. Suprascapular, axillary, and musculocutaneous nerves take the hit. 15% risk of subclavian vessel or plexus injury.
When you suspect this injury, get an X-ray to diagnose the fracture. Diminished pulse or Bruy, order a CT angiogram stat. Always do a full neurovascular exam and document the strength, sensation, and pulse of the extremity.
Treatment is usually non-operative with a sling. Consider surgery with open reduction and internal fixation if more than 2 centimeters shortening, comminution with total displacement, skin tenting, open fracture, or neurovascular compromise.
For the nerve palsy, serial exams for adults, most neuropraxias are back in 3 months. Neonates get gentle passive range of motion, 90%+ recover by 3 months. No biceps action by 3 to 6 months. Consider evaluation for a nerve graft.
Classic pitfalls are missing the neurovascular injury from the bone fracture. Additionally, don't assume that every clavicle fracture needs surgery. Usually it's just a sling.
Next up, nursemaid's elbow, aka radial head subluxation, a total shelf favorite.
The classic story is a toddler yanked up by the hand, now refuses to use the arm. Elbow slightly flexed and pronated.
This occurs because the longitudinal traction pulls the annular ligament over the radial head. Recurrence is a risk in 25% of cases.
Diagnosis is clinical. No swelling or deformity. Only X-ray if swelling, bruising, focal tenderness, or the story feels off. Rule out abuse or supracondylar fracture.
Treatment involves a closed reduction right there. Hyperpronation works best. Supination flexion also fine. Kid uses the arm in minutes. No splint needed. Wizard stuff right here.
Pitfalls to avoid are ordering routine X-rays that may just delay care, and casting, just in case, causes stiffness. 2 failed reductions, then get films. Always stay alert for non-accidental trauma in pediatric trauma.
Let's pivot to hips. Posterior hip dislocation. These are very important to diagnose quickly because they often mean sciatic nerve injury, especially its peroneal branch.
Here's the classic story. Think high-speed car crash, dashboard injury, leg shortened, adducted, internally rotated. Severe buttock pain, foot drop, and dorsal foot numbness should clue you to sciatic palsy.
Here's what happens. Posterior force on a flexed tip drives the femoral head out. 80% of traumatic hip dislocations are posterior. 10% have sciatic palsy.
For diagnosis, get an AP pelvis X-ray. The femoral head will appear above and lateral to its normal position. Post-reduction CT is mandatory. Always document motor sensory exam, dorsiflexion, before and after reduction.
Initial treatment is urgent closed reduction.
Pitfalls to avoid include delaying reduction beyond 6 hours because this increases the risk of avascular necrosis 20-fold and can leave a permanent palsy.
Flip side, anterior hip dislocation, what's the deal?
The classic story here is a motorcycle crash, hip and abduction. Leg of abducted, externally rotated, paradoxically lengthened. You might palpate the femoral head in the groin.
This occurs because the anterior force on an abducted extended hip. Watch for femoral nerve or artery stretch in these injuries.
Diagnosis, AP pelvis X-ray, femoral head will appear medial and inferior to its normal location. Get a CT to rule out impaction. Also, Check distal pulses and quad strength to evaluate for femoral artery and nerve injuries.
Treatment is urgent closed reduction followed by a post-reduction CT.
Pitfalls include forgetting a pre- and post-reduction exam and missing a femoral artery injury. Diminished pulses need CTA.
That was the time, but all clutch for the shelf. Lightning round time.
Here are five high-yield facts to keep your brain spinning. 1. Mid-shaft clavicle fractures can lead to C5 to C6 injuries. Look for the waiter's tip appearance.
2. Mid-shaft clavicle fractures are at risk for vascular injuries. Always perform a good exam and consider CTA.
3. Nursemaid's elbow is a clinical diagnosis. The elbow is slightly flexed and pronated. Treatment is reduction.
4. Posterior hip dislocation will present with the leg shortened, adducted, and internally rotated, reduced to prevent sciatic nerve injury and avascular necrosis.
5. Anterior hip dislocation will present with the leg lengthened, abducted, externally rotated, and the femoral head palpable in the groin. These injuries could cause harm to the femoral nerve and artery.
Jeez, that was a lot.
All right, team, keep studying. We'll see you next time here on Surgery Shelf Prep.
Peace.